Are we going to see the same Democratic ticket in 2024?
I'm sorry, we are thinking about today. I mean, honestly, I know why you're asking the question, because this is the part of the punditry and the right. The gossip around places like Washington, D.C. Let me just tell you something. We're focused on the things in front of us.
Like the failing economy, catastrophic border policy, the fact that cantaloupes will now cost more to transport than they cost to grow and bring to market. What else can you... Listen, it's getting a little snippy with her pal Craig Melvin, that Kamala, today on NBC on the Today Show. Little huffy, I think. She ought to be getting a little huffy, too. You see, even Democrat strategists now are calling Joe Biden a failed president. We're not quite 1 year into his presidency. January 20th will mark 1 year since Inauguration Day. That's a week away, and you can't say you weren't warned. Of course, if you watch CNN and MSNBC, you weren't warned. You got a pretty good excuse. If you get your news from all the wrong sources, then, you know, this is one of the great things that Doug Schoen, I talked about Doug Schoen yesterday, writing a piece with one of his Democrat Party compatriots, saying that the best chance the Democrats have to win the presidency back in 3 years is not Joe Biden, and certainly not Kamala Harris, but Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. This is where the Democrats are. That's desperation time. He also, Doug Schoen, lifelong Democrat Clinton guy, lifelong Clintonista, of course, a pollster and advisor, And he said that, speaking of the Democrat Party and Hillary Clinton, that in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. And apparently the one-eyed man is now Hillary Clinton, which is quite a badge of honor, I think. That should be her campaign slogan. That should be the bumper sticker for Hillary. You know that picture of her looking goofy with her hands up in front of her face and her eyebrows up, and she's going, ooh, ooh, because balloons are falling or something? You know that picture? That picture on one end of a bumper sticker with the one-eyed man, who wants to be king. She's the one-eyed man who would be king. things are not going well for the Democrats, but the media is here to help. They're doing everything they can, and, you know, whoever the Democrat nominee is, you can be sure that the Washington Post and ABC News and CNN will have their back. They'll be there for them. The front page of the Washington Post today, perhaps you've heard of it, above the fold, they've got a big graphic showing inflation things. And, you know that used cars and trucks are up 51% since December of 2019. That's a couple of years, 2 years. 51%. Pretty amazing, though. And the headline is, prices, this is, they reaffirm my most cynical fears every day. Here's the headline on the front page above the fold. It's about inflation, which, you know, affects all 330 million of us. But here's the headline. Prices become potent political threat for Biden. See, it's for Biden. They always screw the 330 million people that pay the taxes and cast the votes. No, this is about how it affects Biden, because that is the prism through which the Washington Post views the world. It's an extraordinary time, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Yes, it is. We're, of course, at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. An awful lot of stuff has, of course, transpired in the last 21 hours since last we convened. And inflation, I talked about this yesterday, the number popped while we were on the air yesterday. Inflation for 2021, highest in 40 years, actually on the front page of the Washington Post. Trend expected to last for months, you see. Breadth of problem alarms U.S. policymakers. But of course, it's not Biden's fault. It's not a thing. Prices rose at the fastest rate in four decades in December, increasing 7% over the same period 1 year ago, and cementing 2021 as a year marked by soaring inflation, wrought by the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. See, everything is, it's a very convenient explanation for everything. Hey, the grocery store shelves are bare. It's the pandemic. Oh, and also it snowed in January in the northern United States. I've seen it snow in the northern United States over the course of a number of years, in December and January in particular. And I've never seen the grocery store shelves go bare as a result, Soviet-style bare shelves, because that's Biden, and that's the Democrats. And these people, can I just say these people? These people, truly amazing stuff. So we have, that's just scratching the surface, of course, on today. Inflation, Joe Biden's approval rating in the latest Quinnipiac poll, now at 33%. That is more or less one-third of the American people approving of. That is his worst poll number yet, and it's a very bad poll number. When's the last time any president had a poll number that bad? I think we'd have to go in the Wayback Machine or something to find that. That's not on the front page. Interestingly enough, the Washington Post doesn't have Joe Biden's terrible poll numbers on the front page. Wow. And they're concerned that inflation might affect him negatively. You know, he doesn't pay for his meals. We do. pretty amazing. Also, the Washington Post, very concerned. Muslim rights group says tip revealed spies in its ranks. One of two men named, this is CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and one of two men named in inquiry once belonged to Falls Church Mosque. You see, but it's there are spies everywhere, I say. It might be the FBI. It's hard to say. Maybe they're busy spying on CARE, which might be a good thing to do, actually, the Council on American Islamic Relations. How do they have so many people go to, school board meetings and parents and January 6th? Oh, yeah, well, they just ignore the hundreds and hundreds of other violent insurrectionist riots across the country. Remarkable. Also, the Joe Biden poll numbers are even worse. They're even worse than the 33% might indicate. Because in key demographics, and this is the kind of stuff they care about, they're in politics, they're weasels, they slice and dice the American people in very self-serving ways. But it's much worse than the 33. Remember, it seems like just yesterday that they were chanting, "We are the 99%, right? Remember, Occupy Wall Street, we are the 99%, when they're sleeping in their own feces. They were training young people to become miscreants for life. And it worked, and millions of cases. The Democrats have ruined millions and millions of lives over the last handful of years. But the 18 to 34 group, this is the, he's got 33 in all adults, 33% approval rating, 53% disapproval rating. He should be impeached for that just on principle. But among the 18 to 34 demographic, as they say, his approval rating is 24%. 24%, not even a quarter of the population in the 18 to 34, which is, the warm zone for Democrats. Those are the people they try to date. That's a euphemism, of course. But and among independents, that is people that are, identify neither as Republican nor Democrat, his approval rating and a key constituency if you're planning on winning elections, his approval rating is 25%. 25% among independents. 24% in the 18 to 34 age group, and a total approval rating overall of all adults of 33%. Quite catastrophic news for the Democrat Party. They are indeed a terrible, horrible party. But at least they have Hillary, who is the one-eyed man in the land of the blind. The land of the blind being the Democrat Party under Lunch Bucket Joe. I think there were a lot of people, including myself, warning the American public about what was coming with Joe Biden, whose brain, she's a no good. That doesn't work. He was always an idiot. He's always been wrong about everything. And he's just the dog, and the tail is the far left wagging the dog. He is he's just a messenger, a servant of the hard left, which has taken over the Democrat Party. Speaking of which, you remember the prosecutor in Baltimore, Marilyn Mosby? She was on the wrong side of the riots up there in Baltimore. Remember Freddie Gray, the heroin dealer who jumped out of a window and And they made up all these stories about tried to prosecute all the police officers for being racist, and you know they were all minority people, African American and Hispanic. And Freddie Gray, the heroin dealer, and they said, "Oh, they took him for a rough ride in the back of the paddy wagon." Paddy wagon is racist, by the way; it's anti-Irish, but the Irish are okay with it, you know. And Billy Club too, kind of fun. It's a little part of our history. And Marilyn Mosby's in the middle of another controversy, where she's still in office, which is kind of amazing all by itself, because Democrats, you know, what more need be said? Hillary is the one-eyed man in the land of the blind. And Marilyn Mosby, they've got a guy up there. His name is Luther Trent. Luther Trent. This is an amazing story. Luther Trent seems like a nice enough guy. Seems like a nice enough guy. You know, there's a video. I'm going to play some audio of Luther Trent for you today, because he torched his girlfriend's house in Baltimore, a row house, torched it real good with people inside, and was charged with 3 counts of attempted homicide, and a total of 18 counts, including, you know, 3 of them were attempted homicide, his girlfriend and other people in the house. And he torched the place real good, and, I mean, it really went up in flames. And they arrested him, you know, Luther Trent, the boyfriend. I guess it wasn't too hard, didn't require Columbo or anything. And he got 18 counts, and then they reduced it to 10 counts, and then they reduced it to 1 count, and then he did like 5 months in jail, and now he's loose on the streets again. But the funny thing is that it's not his girlfriend that's yelling about it, and it's not the mayor or anybody like that. It's Luther Trent himself who is raising eyebrows and saying, "What am I doing on the street? Who let me on the street? This is crazy. I could go out and shoot somebody. What kind of message does this send to the community?" He's actually concerned about the message it sends to the community. He's the criminal. Even the criminals are now outraged by the lenient treatment that is afforded criminals in the city of Baltimore by the likes of Marilyn Mosby, who is another one of these Democrat prosecutors who is, you know, on the side of the criminals. She's a representative of the criminals and not of the people, because, you know, that's their thing. That's the Democrat Party thing. They are there's something. All right, listen, so we got, and I'm going to get to that audio because it's amazing audio. And I actually am listening to this guy and watching video of this guy being interviewed at a local station in Baltimore. And I got to say, I kind of liked him. He seems like a nice enough guy, you know, setting aside the arson, the 3 attempted homicides and then the 14 other counts. But the he can't believe that the city is this lenient with criminals like himself. He is outraged. It's pretty amazing. Also, Joe Biden going on about the first time he got arrested. Remember when he told the story about being arrested in South Africa because he was protesting against apartheid and for Nelson Mandela and stuff? And it was a complete fabrication, it turned out later. When you're a Democrat, this stuff just goes away. It's no big deal. Because the Washington Post is filthy and corrupt, owned by Dr. Evil, lives on a hollowed-out volcano, got a space station, travels by submarine, the usual stuff. Even the Washington Post today, Biden claims yet another arrest for which there is little evidence. I like the grammar. That's good. Anyway, pretty amazing. Also, they've got Arthur Laffer. You remember Arthur Laffer, the economist, during the Reagan years where we had a booming economy? Came out and he's like, you know, excuse me, Joe Biden, talking about driving inflation down instead of up. He said, "You're doing the opposite of everything that you ought to be doing, literally the opposite of everything you ought to be doing." And Arthur Laffer explains, here's what Joe Biden's doing. Here's what Ronald Reagan did. Here are Ronald Reagan's results. Here are Joe Biden's results. I don't know why we have to keep learning these lessons over and over again. This is pretty well-established stuff. It's settled science, you know. Also, by the way, there are 2 genders. There are 2 genders, male and female. Those are the 2 genders. Or there's like normal and Democrat. Those could be the 2 genders, too. The Hill, Biden, this is their headline. "For Biden, comma, it goes from bad to worse." See, once again, they view it through the prism of how it affects Joe Biden instead of the other 330 million people in the country, because the news media, you know how they are. We got cannabis in the news. We've got this crazy woman in Chicago that murdered her child. That's a horrible, terrible story. schools, and the Wuhan, of course. You know, everybody seems to be coming around quite suddenly to the conservative slash Republican slash terrible, awful talk radio worldview about the Wuhan Red Death, and that is that we're going to have to learn to live with it and get on with our lives like normal people. And the Maryland Purple Line, you know, this is a subway train they've been working on for some time. Got an update on that. And what does the word nibbling mean? Nibbling, huh?
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Man, oh, man, a shevitz. I am telling you. We got a lot of crazy stuff. This criminal in Baltimore, I want to hang out with this guy. He seems like a nice guy. He's got a lot of common sense. You know, arson, three counts of attempted homicide. But right now, let's go to, and Kamala on with her friend Craig Melvin. Didn't go very well. NBC. Let's go to David calling from Silver Spring, Maryland. David, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Chris, good morning. How are you doing today?
Hey, David, I'm great. What do you say, huh?
Good. Yeah, listening to you talk about him, you know, he doesn't just plagiarize speeches and quotes. He plagiarizes life in general, and I realized I've seen this before. It's like that bizarre episode of Seinfeld, and Joe Biden is Jay Peterman, and he's buying everybody else's life stories and accomplishments for his own, you know, use. Have you ever seen that episode?
Yes, I have. Sure, of course. Yeah, and yeah, an old Jay Peterman. It'll always be Burma to me. And he, you know, you're right. Joe Biden with corn pop and getting arrested in South Africa, and now he's got a new arrest story that even the Washington Post doesn't believe. The man is the human comedy. He's a joke, and he's president of the United States. We can laugh.
Oh my
at
God! It's like Weekend at Bernie's 24/7 with him.
It honestly is. It's, you know, the 4 years, maybe, of Weekend at Bernie's, you know, where they cart a dead guy around on a hand truck and bring him to the beach and put sunglasses on him. And you know, maybe that's why Joe wears the aviator sunglasses and why when he walks, his arms don't swing like a normal person. They just hang off of him like dead meat. Amazing
guy.
Yeah,
he's used to being held up by everybody else.
Sorry, go ahead.
Thanks for taking the call, Chris. A great show.
Thank you. Thanks, David. You know, I'm going to share with you this audio out of Baltimore and the audio of Kamala on the Today Show with Craig Melvin, who is Craig Melvin spreading rumors. And he decided he stirred things up a little bit. You know, things are going bad for the Democrats when even the Today Show is poking you in the eye a bit. And that happened today with Kamala, and she's not good at rolling with anything, you know, except like, you know, the Speaker of the California Assembly. But she's not good at this. She's not really good at anything that we've found just yet. But he said, you know, there's a rumor going around that they're going to replace you as vice president with Liz Cheney.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though, so. That's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
D Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants commit crimes of violence on January 6th?
I can't answer that, sir.
Why can you not answer that? That is Jill Sanborn embarrassing and humiliating the United States of America, the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Department of Justice, because the corruption and the ineptitude and the lack of faith and confidence that a growing number of Americans have in the FBI and the Justice Department and our federal government, she's a perfect symbol of that. She's like something out of Alan J. Pakula's the Parallax View. At the end, she is, you can't answer that? Then why did they choose you to testify before the Senate committee where you knew you were going to be asked about this, one might ask? And it's because she's either the fall guy or that's how they were all going to answer. And I assume back at the FBI, they're all laughing, covering their faces, and they're doubled over, slapping their knees, howling with laughter in the next room next to Jill Sanborn as she gave those answers. Because our federal government is just a disaster, a calamity, an embarrassment. Now, there is a – that was, of course, Senator Ted Cruz asking the questions there because no Democrats can ask the questions because they're a lynch mob. The Democrat Party's been a lynch mob for, a couple of centuries. Well, a century and a half for sure. Now, there is a left-winger who's an honest man. Let's just pause there for a moment. A journalist by the name of Glenn Greenwald, and he's not, he's not a conservative. He's not an American flag-waving, rah-rah conservative. He's not anything of the kind. I think he lives in Brazil, and he is Glenn Greenwald. And I've long had respect for him because, in spite of it all, he is actually a truth-seeker and a truth-teller, and a fact-checker, which is what every journalist is supposed to be. But almost no journalists are. Glenn Greenwald has a Twitter account, and he tweeted out yesterday four questions about the FBI and January 6th, okay, and the committee, because they've got this this Soviet-style Stalinist committee that's going after political enemies, hammer and tong, hammer and sickle, as it were. And Glenn Greenwald tweeted yesterday, he said, leave the bizarre Ray Epps case to the side for a moment. Well, and there, maybe you could call it bizarre. Okay. It's largely bizarre because nobody can get any answers to the salient questions. But Glenn Greenwald said, leave the bizarre. And then there's, of course, the scaffold commander. And there are more questions. There are plenty of questions that have thus far been unanswered. Have gone unanswered. And the committee is, of course, not looking into any of them because the committee is not legitimate. It's purely political. It's a political lynch mob. You know, and this is could be a Reichstag moment, which they love to reference, where Hitler and his gang from the Socialist Workers' Party of Germany at that time in the 1930s, there was a fire at the Reichstag there in Germany, their capital, basically their legislature. And they blamed the fire on the communists because their competing parties are competing for power, the National Socialist German Workers' Party and the Communist Party. And it's always referenced, it's a Reichstag moment, meaning they pulled off a big fake, right? Pulled off a big fake. That's the Reichstag. That's what a Reichstag moment is. You pull off a big ruse, a fake, a deception where you seize on a moment, an opportunity. Maybe you even set the fire yourself to blame the other guy, right? And if it turns out that Ray Epps or the scaffold commander or others in the crowd were in fact in the employ of the federal government, then we would have a Reichstag moment on our hands in the United States of America. Now, I'm not saying that that is the case, but I am saying that there are very legitimate and serious questions that thus far have gone unanswered. So Glenn Greenwald says, just to, set that aside, leave the bizarre Ray Epps case to the side for a moment. He says, these are questions for the FBI and for the Democrat committee Liz Cheney and that idiot from Illinois, Kinzinger. But How many FBI informants or agents helped plan January 6th? That's his first question, okay? There are four questions. And the second question, how many FBI informants or agents were present at January 6th, the events of January 6th on Capitol Hill? Third question, how many FBI informants or agents were implanted in the three key groups? The three key groups, I guess, would be the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys, which headed by a black guy of Cuban descent, Enrique Tarrio, who was stabbed by Black Lives Matter people when he came to Washington, D.C., along with his friend, also an African-American woman, Bevelyn Beatty, who was stabbed on the streets of Washington, D.C. By, again, Black Lives Matter, by left-wing Democrats. A total of eight members, not on January 6th, but on other occasions. A total of eight members, I believe, of Enrique Tarrio's Proud Boys were stabbed on the streets of Washington, D.C. But, you know, why would that be a thing? So he asked, how many FBI informants helped plan? How many FBI informants or agents were present? How many FBI informants or agents implanted in the three key groups? I'm not sure what the third group is. And then his fourth question is, why don't we know the answers? Why don't we know the answers to these questions? And that is entirely legitimate, because until we know the answers to those questions, I don't think this conversation can proceed. I think that we need some answers. And when an FBI clown, this Jill Sanborn, she was actually wearing a red nose and a big puffy satin suit with multicolors. Not really, but she should have been. And Jill Sanborn's, oh, I can't answer that. I can't. Well, this is not the Soviet stinking Union, lady. You should answer that. And if you can't answer it on camera, you should go to the New York Times or the Washington Post or go to Glenn Greenwald or go to Fox News and anonymously leak the information, as was done so constantly during the Trump years. Leak. You know, where I've been saying for years now, where are the whistleblowers inside the FBI coming forward? And honestly, lady, if you have any, if you have a shred of integrity, if you are at all patriotic, if you respect the rule of law, then you should surreptitiously leak that information to Republican members of Congress, maybe to Senator Ted Cruz's office. Honestly, to Glenn Greenwald, go to the Daily Caller, go to Fox News, go to a reporter that you know and trust, and call me. I'll talk to you and keep your name out of it, and I can help you find somebody that's trustworthy. If you don't want to share it with me, Jill Sanborn, I can help link you up with somebody who will maintain trust and confidentiality, and you can make sure that the truth gets out. Because the truth getting out is kind of important. Well, just my opinion. You know, I know that's not popular these days.
It should be very easy for the FBI to say, no, no federal agents participated in violent crimes. No, no federal agents actively incited, encouraged others to commit violent crimes. If they were doing their jobs, those would be very easy questions to answer. They refuse to answer those.
That is a fact, Jack. And honestly, you know, and Glenn Greenwald, no conservative, he is raising the questions because these are things that we as Americans deserve to know about our government. And if our government doesn't see fit to share this vitally important Reichstag moment information with us, then once again, the trust and confidence in the FBI continues to plummet. As is the case with institution after institution since the Democrats sunk their teeth into the FBI, the just under Barack Obama, the abuses of the FBI, J. Edgar Comey, of the CIA under penitentiary face Brennan, of the FISA courts, which were lied to and abused, and Hillary Clinton's opposition research being falsely presented as legitimate intelligence when it was political crap, and on and on. We don't trust the CDC anymore. We don't we don't trust the FAA. You know, who do we trust anymore? The FBI, the Justice Department, the CIA, the IRS, Lois Lerner. If you had the word patriot in your organization's name, then the Obama IRS and Lois Lerner targeted you to keep you. And you know what that was about? Just a little reminder. That was about corrupting our elections. You know, our sacred elections that they pretend to be so concerned about, calling everybody racist and everything. That was the IRS was about that scandal, which the news media says was not a scandal. They say it was scandal-free for 8 years because, you know, they're fluffers and not journalists. They should really get tract homes in the Simi Valley and a box of chapstick because they're certainly not journalists, these people. Yeah, that's right. All right, let's go. And that's, you know, Ray Epps and the scaffold commander and that creep that went on CNN and sold his video for $90,000. Shot the video of the shooting of Ashley Babbitt, the only person killed that day. Killed. Two men died of heart attacks in a population of 200,000. One woman died of an accidental drug overdose. Officer Brian Sicknick died the next day of a stroke, tragically. And the Democrats have tried to use his death and the other deaths to make political hay and gain political advantage. And it's all about elections, you know. Make no mistake. All right, speaking of Democrats, let's go to Baltimore now. Baltimore arsonist, surprised by own plea deal, says he, quote, shouldn't be out of jail. He says he shouldn't be out of jail. Baltimore mayor walks away after reporter questions his drop in crime claims. See, crime and homicide, that more than 300 homicides in Baltimore, not the biggest city in the country. Last year, once again, third year running. And homicides are up again compared to last year. Baltimore mayor was being asked questions about the crime and naturally just walked away. Baltimore's Democrat mayor claimed that violent crime is down in the city and walked away from a reporter when pressed as to why assaults are not being factored into the total violent crime count. You see, Baltimore Democrat Mayor Brandon Scott. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon Scott. You know, we've got, if you live in Baltimore, we have Let's Go Brandon, Let's Go Brandon shirts and coffee mugs and things at the Chris Plant store, along with Remember Normal and Disobey shirts and great stuff with little tasteful, modest Chris Plant Show logos, usually on the sleeve of the T-shirts, you know. It's like that. So the mayor just got up. Total violent crime is down because violent crime is down, he said. Oh, it's like a cartoon. They honestly are just an embarrassment. And the reporter pressed the mayor about the data being down when assaults are not included. Just as long as you leave assaults out. The mayor walked away without answering the question. Because, you know, that's what you can do when you're a Democrat. It's good to be a Democrat. Now let's go to the arsonists. You know, Democrat cities, homicide cities, kind of redundant and repetitive and unnecessarily duplicative. But there it is. Baltimore arsonist, surprised by own plea deal, says he shouldn't be out of jail. The Baltimore man says he poured gasoline on the side of the house, of his girlfriend's house. This is completely berserk, and it's a new one. I've never seen this before in my life, I've got to say. Luther Trent is his name. And we have some audio sound bites I want to share with you now of Luther Trent, who himself cannot believe that he was let out of jail. Now, he was charged with 18 different counts, including three counts of attempted homicide and arson. And then the Democrat prosecutor there, not even a Soros person, just a radical left lunatic. And she intervened. And now, well, let me let Luther Trent describe it for you. Here's Luther Trent.
I disrupted somebody's life. I traumatized somebody. For real, I was expecting to get time.
I was expecting to get time, serious time. But what happened? Three counts of attempted homicide, one count of arson, set the home on fire with his girlfriend, now his ex-girlfriend, as you might imagine, since she torched the house. He torched the house with her inside and everything. And two roommates inside in May of last year. And here's Luther doing an interview with a local station in Baltimore, explaining that even he thinks he shouldn't have been released from jail.
I was just charged with 18 different counts. That was dropped to 10, and then it was dropped to 1 when I shouldn't be out right now.
I shouldn't be out right now. This is nuts. He thinks it sends the wrong message to criminals. Here's Luther Trent.
That tells anybody that, oh, I can go shoot somebody. or I could go attempt to shoot somebody and I'll be completely fine. It would empower me because I would be like, okay, this man just shot somebody, just blew his head off, and he is out walking free. Oh, I can do anything I want.
Now, Luther is right. I agree with Luther. Luther, you know, he seems like, other than the homicide charges and the arson, he seems like a perfectly nice guy. He was given a 10-year sentence and then suspended. Suspended a sentence. 18 felonies, including 3 attempted homicide charges. Here's Luther Trent.
In my head, it was kind of like some Romeo Juliet type of thing where I was like, oh, if nobody can have you, if I can't have you, nobody can, or at least nobody in Baltimore.
Yeah, that's not actually the story of Romeo and Juliet, buddy. Probably went to a Baltimore public school. You know, the London Underground is not a political movement, and the central message of Buddhism is not every man for himself. And the moral of the story Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare is not that if I can't have you, nobody can have you. That's not the story there. He admits he went to the side of the house, poured gasoline on the side of the house, set the house on fire. The love of my life is in Baltimore, he says. I know where she lives, and I can't even talk to her. It's the love of his life. It says, can't say nothing to her, he says. In my head, it was some Romeo and Juliet kind of stuff. No, that is not the lesson of Romeo and Juliet. Not even close. But public education. And now even he can't believe he's not in jail. The state attorney, Marilyn Mosby, who we know as a crook from back during the Freddie Gray riots, is letting the criminals out on the street, and now even the criminals can't believe it.
Aristotle was not Belgian. The central message of Buddhism is not every man for himself. And the London Underground is not a political movement. Those are all mistakes, Otto. I looked them up.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Ah, yes. Yeah, well, it would be kind of Romeo and Juliet if the story of Romeo and Juliet was that Romeo was bitter about his ex-girlfriend and poured gasoline on the side of the Capulet castle and set it on fire. Have fun storming the castle. Yeah, but even the criminals in Baltimore are like, what am I doing out? I should be in jail. But the Democrat prosecutors, we need more arsonists and would-be mass murderers. Well, 3 murders back on the street. Absolutely kooky. Kooky chew, I'm telling you. All right, let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go, because we need to talk more about the January 6th and Ray Epps and what's not being learned. And where's our media on this, just by the way? Let's go to Philip, formerly of Arlington. That sounds like a royal title from, Robin Hood or something.
Well, Philip, Chris, I'm now living in free America where they have ranches and farms and industry, not where they do nothing in the D.C. area. But think about this for a second. Mm-hmm. He kept saying something very specific. Let's go into the Capitol. Trump had the rally set up. I'm convinced, totally convinced, that Democratic operatives, not the federal government in this specific case, rallied people together to go there to foment and to be dirty tricksters. And you're right about the Reichstag fire, except in this case, I don't think it was the federal government per se, but Congress and or the Democrats. This is a Mark Elias dirty tricks operation. This is a Brookings and Lawfare. They set this whole thing up, and they specifically did not say burn it down, tear it down. They said go into the Capitol knowing something was going to – and that's the way – look at the way Adam Kinzinger is saying, oh, he's a wonderful man. He's done nothing wrong. We spoke to him. I think it's because he's their guy.
Very interesting. I got to tell you, you know, the thing is, as long as the questions remain unanswered, it fuels the fire.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.